College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. I'm Chris, he's Marshall, and we're here to discuss week six as far as recap from what has been a really great start to the college football season. Now, obviously not this week, but next week, the Big Ten will be back. And when you look at week seven, missing the Big Ten and obviously even the Pac-12 does hurt. We have kind of a light schedule coming up. But, you know, ranked versus ranked, well, some of these teams are ranked that maybe wouldn't be ranked if that was the case. But either way, week six gave us some just phenomenal games, some just high-scoring games. I really think that some of this has to do with the offenses and everything, but some of this has to do with the lack of tackling in preparation for the season. Some of this stuff has to. But anyway, I mean, we had some crazy freaking games. Clemson looked like Clemson. Unfortunately, to my Miami Hurricanes, didn't do enough in the first probably 2.5 quarters to win that game or stay with them, and Clemson ran away with it. But Alabama, Ole Miss was just back and forth. You had Saban talking about they're stealing my signs and all that, 63-48. Tennessee, Georgia was close until it wasn't, 44-21. We wanted to see if Florida was for real. Was A&M, should they even be ranked? Well, they won 41-38 over Florida. The coach there, who's doing a good job bringing Florida back so far anyway, was talking about, well, we better have a full stadium then when we get the – you lost the game. Don't talk about next week in the Swamp having a packed game. You lost the game. Get over it. Notre Dame and Florida State kind of hung around. Then, you know, Notre Dame took it over. North Carolina, Virginia Tech was all over the place, 56-45. Auburn snuck one out, 30-28 with Arkansas. Just a variety. Missouri, who that's one of my co-hosts, you know, teams that he follows closely. From a fan perspective, Missouri pulls off the upset. LSU shouldn't be ranked. Texas-Oklahoma was just a phenomenal four-overtime game. And the crafty pick of the week we'll get to, of course. This was just a blast of a week. We knew Kansas State and TCU would be close as well. Boston College and Pitt was another close one. I mean, all things considered, Marshall, this has been, ever since the SEC came back, what is this, week three for the SEC? Ever since they came back, that was kind of, you know, that started out the college football season, obviously. But, man, and I'm going to do the ads in just a second, but I just want you to take, dude, week six in these first 3 weeks of the season, basically, have just been freaking phenomenal, dude. All sorts of shit happening in the SEC and across the country.
It's been a really, really good start to college football. I mean, there's five or six games we could easily spend a long time breaking down of what you just said, because it was just an incredible Saturday. I know, like you said, the defenses are a little bit behind, but that's led to some high-scoring affairs or maybe some close games. I don't know, but you're right, Chris. This has been a really fun start, and we still got the Pac-12, Big Ten, and the MAC, which are the weekday gambling games to watch. Those are still coming back. So we're not even like on a full plate yet, and we're getting tremendous, tremendous Saturdays so far. So it only hopefully should get better, my friend.
Definitely. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live and archives right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. Like I said, it streams live and archives. However, to listen to this show, the College Ball Show, you don't have to go to Blog Talk, Ropeadope Radio, and, you know, download the show off the browser, listen to it in the browser. You can find this radio podcast at Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing. It's everything in between. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have and you're not quite happy, I got something for you. I actually use it myself. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have a 7-day free trial. There's no annual contracts. The plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. And right now, just for signing up, you get a free 30-day trial of HBO Max. Here's another layer to the deal. If you sign up for the Max package, that already includes HBO Max, plus a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11 a month. That's AT&T TV Now, like I said, live streaming cable. Okay, I mean, Ole Miss, it just gave them a hell of a run in this game. I mean, back and forth as we go. I'm looking at the quarters here, 7-7. 14-14, 21-14, 21-13. Obviously, the second half is where they managed to pull away. I mean, you're looking at this Ole Miss score, Snoop Connor scores. It's 42-42 at the 11:31 mark of the fourth quarter. Back and forth they go. This was a crazy game, dude. I didn't anticipate it like this. Jones throws for 417. Harris, who looks like he's 29, not on the field, but just him. He's just a grown man. 23 carries, 206, 5 freaking rushing touchdowns, 9 yards a clip. They ran for 306. Once again, Smith, Waddle, Mechie, they are just doing shit for wide receivers there. At Alabama, 13, a buck 64 and a touch for Smith. Waddle, 6 and a buck 20. I mean, wow, what a juggernaut. But, you know, I mean, it's not like they didn't put up numbers, too. They had – Ole Miss had 2 100 yards rusher, 128 and 120. Just a phenomenal game. If you look at – they had 2 wide receivers, 11 for 143 and 7 for 182. I mean, was this the Big 12 or the SEC?
It was a very, very fun game to watch. I was getting ready to maybe sing the praises of Ole Miss, my boy Kiffin, and they lost. But, man, they played – I think they played as good as they could. Like, I'll defend him a little bit. Like, Ole Miss needs a defense. I think that Kiffin and the quarterback Corral have been, like, a match made in heaven. Like, their offense is moving. But defensively,
they were stealing signs, though.
Defensively, like they're really below average. But I mean, you could tell those players ready to go. I'm sure there was a pretty heartfelt speech for the game, like, "Hey, let's try to get one against my old coach." And Saban was it wasn't a walk in the park. That was not your typical Saban's gonna walk through one of his assistants and, like, you know, pull it, take the foot off the brake in the fourth quarter and just run the clock out. That was a hell of a fun game to watch. Both offenses were just moving them down the field. I recall Ole Miss having a sack in the third quarter, and I know Bam made a couple of plays, but Chris, that was a super fun game to watch. Obviously I'm bought into it a little more because I've liked Kiffin, and I've, right. From that, I've always kind of watched Bama more often, but you're right. That was a super fun game. Bama got it done. They do have some wide receivers who are skill level above so far Texas A&M secondary, and a skill level above Ole Miss's secondary. Now, I know neither of those defenses are Georgia, but, you know, I think Bama had 2 or 3 wide receivers go in the top 2 rounds this last year in the NFL draft, and we're seeing a couple of guys, Chris, who, again, could be doing the same thing. But, yeah, that was just a fun game to watch. It had, you're right, it had a Big 12 mentality of it's our ball, we're going to score, and then you better match us. The only, I guess, shitty part for Ole Miss was – they actually almost could have taken the lead in the fourth quarter because they dialed up a great onside kick because they knew that, hey, we're probably not going to stop Bama, so why not get the lead? And they did an onside kick where the kicker kicks it forward, and he had the ball in his hands, and he dropped it, and then a receiver comes in and drops it too. Like, they almost – I mean, again, they easily could have lost, but holy shit, they could have maybe taken the lead there. That would have been super fun. But, yeah, it was just a great offensive game to enjoy. I loved it. I know Ole Miss lost. I think if you're an Ole Miss fan, which I'm only been a fan of for a few weeks now, you got to be pretty optimistic for your offense. Like, you know, Bama's defense is, I don't think they're a joke. So you hung up 48 on them, like, okay. And you hung up 42 on Kentucky, who held the Leach spread offense to 2 points. So again, get yourself a defense, you'll be okay. And if you're Bama, you took care of your business. It wasn't maybe what Saban wanted, but a W is still a W. But you're right, man. That was a very, very fun game to kind of cap off, which was a really enjoyable Saturday.
And 9 of 17 Ole Miss on third down, and 4 of 4 on fourth down. Alabama only got into 7 third downs, but they were 6 of 7. 723 total yards for Bama, 647 for Ole Miss. That freaking game, man. Wow. I mean, I really was not expecting that style of game. But yeah, we'll see where that goes. We'll see how that goes. Speaking of the SEC, Georgia and Tennessee, you know, they actually got off. There was the, you know, that fumble touchdown. It was 7-7, then 14-7 after a 12-play, 95-yard, 6-minute drive. But then, you know, they actually turned the ball over on downs, and it was still 14-7. They come back one play later, it's 14-14, and I mean the Vols. Then Georgia comes down 17-14, and next thing you know, Marshall is 21-17 after another touchdown drive, back-to-back touchdown drives, 21-17, 10-play drive right before the end of the half. They turn it over on downs. It's 21-17 at half. There is obviously a fumble that leads to a field goal, and then an interception that leads to a field goal, which put up 20, you know, Georgia 23-21. And then they just grinded it after that, scored a touchdown, pitched a couple of three and outs. I think it was a four straight three and outs. There was a fumble touchdown, and the game was over, 44-21. But Tennessee showed that they are a pretty damn good team. We knew that they had won 8 in a row. None of them were ranked. But they showed up in this game. I got to give them credit.
Yeah, I still think they're going in the right direction with their head coach. I do think that your quarterback is a level below what you need to be a true contender. As you said, they were up at half. But when you start off the third quarter with 3 turnovers in a row, that's kind of like, okay, like, hey, the pieces are there. Like, we're getting there, but we still have a ways to go. And I'm sure George had a pretty emotional speech in the locker room too, and their defense came out to play, but you could just tell there was like that sense of nervousness, like the offense wasn't composed, the quarterback was scrambling, kind of running for his life, like it wasn't quite they're not entirely there yet, Chris, but you're right, they're much better than they were a couple of years ago. They were a laughing stock. They couldn't find a damn coach, and they're losing all these games left and right, and now you've won 8 games in a row, you beat up the teams you should. And you put up a decent performance against one of the best defenses in the country. And you played them good 2 out of 4 quarters. Like, okay, that's fair. Like, realistically, if you're a Vols fan, I'm sure you're obviously upset with how the third quarter went. But realistically, I mean, did you really think you could win the game? Like, that was a decent performance. So, yeah, you're right. It should be encouraging. And now you just have to make sure not to have a slip-up game, keep beating up the lower opponents. And again, I'm sure that quarterback's going to grow. I can't speculate a whole lot on him because I haven't watched Tennessee play more than a game or two in the last couple of years. But I think he's a young kid. So, yeah, you're right. The optimism's there. And for Georgia, you couldn't have let that one slip. If you lose to Tennessee, like, now you're going to have to, like, sweep Bama if you need. I mean, that was the game where they had to take care of their shit, and they did. But also, Chris, talking about quarterbacks, Georgia doesn't have, you know, it's not Aaron Rodgers or Brady back there. Like, they're still working on their quarterback system as well. Like, they have a young kid who's been probably really being helped by, again, most people say the best defense in the country. We'll see after this week. But, so, yeah, a good win. But as you mentioned, the first half, like, Georgia's offense wasn't doing a whole hell of a lot. Like, they're still kind of grooming their kid. So, yeah, that was just another fun game. And also, speaking of quarterbacks, and I've kind of started liking Arkansas. Why? I have no clue why. But they had a hell of a game against Auburn. And speaking of, yeah, dumb quarterbacks, to Bo Nix almost had a backward lateral trying to stop the clock moment.
Yeah.
If we're going by the rule book, That was a recovery to me. Auburn's very lucky they were able to kick that field goal. So if you missed it, it was really a back and forth game. Again, I'm going to look to bet. I should have bet Arkansas. I said I would on the podcast, and my dumbass didn't. But it was back and forth game. Coming down the stretch, Arkansas is up one on Auburn, and Auburn's they're around the 30-ish. Okay, so you're trying to spike the clock and get your team out to kick a game-winning field goal. But the rules in football are if you fumble a snap, you can't spike the ball. Like if the snap is fumbled and you try to stop the clock, it doesn't count. And hell, he tried it anyways. And as you spike the ball bounced backwards. So it goes from, well, that's not a spike the clock. That's actually an incomplete pass. And since it took a weird bounce backwards, it was a live ball, which Arkansas actually landed on after a couple of seconds. And they went to review. And I believe what I saw, the latest thing was the official said there was not an initial clear recovery. Therefore, it was called an incomplete pass. And if you're an Arkansas fan, you got to be pissed. Like, that was one of those, like, shit. Like, Auburn got lucky. And if you're an Auburn fan this year, Chris, I mean, Georgia whooped your ass. You had to fight and claw to beat them. You had maybe the refs give you a W there. I think we're going to be talking about Georgia, Bama this year, maybe some other teams. If you're an Auburn fan, Chris, I guess you got the W, but you got to be shaking your head a little bit, yeah, as to how the season's going to go.
Yeah, it's true. They barely grinded that one out. Frank's had a really nice game. But yeah, they just snuck it out, and it doesn't seem like they can just get enough offensively going. I think that's pretty fair to say. Speaking of offense, we had another one of the SEC, 41-38, A&M knock off Florida. Pretty even start at the end of the half, 21-17. Florida was up. When they got up 28-17, I thought, okay, let's see here. Let's see what happens. And the Aggies came back on a 10-play drive, 75 yards, 28-24. Then they go up another 10-play drive, 31-28. Then they settle for a field goal, tied it up, did the Gators. Then there was a fumble, which turned into a touchdown, 38-31. Back and forth we go, and sure enough, to end the game. I mean, there was a fumble. It was the tie game. And there was a fumble that ultimately, finished the game for them. They ended up doing their thing. But we wanted to see if Florida, was the real deal. If they were, if they could, because we didn't really know exactly what A&M was or what they are. I guess we don't 100% know. We know they should be a ranked team, I guess. They played good enough in spots anyway against Bama. But the big thing was Florida. Okay, let's see what Florida, is made of here. And they lost this game. It's not the end of the world. They still have Georgia on their schedule. But I don't know. The coach was talking about, because A&M had a bunch of people in their stadium. And it's kind of funny. The coach came right back and was like, well, we better have a full stadium at the Swamp. Dude, you lost the game. All right. Like, it is what it is. Like, that's just how it goes. I didn't really like that. I didn't hear the question or what sparked him, but it seemed like he kept repeating it and repeating it. It's like, well, yeah, but, if coronavirus didn't happen, you'd still be playing these in front of a full 110,000 people. So just calm down a little bit. Either way, though, they didn't get the job done when it looked like when it was 28-17. They had a chance to at least keep the lead or pull away.
I'm just happy Florida lost. I'm not a huge A&M fan, but the love for this Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts, like they were mentioning that Kyle Pitts was in the running for the Heisman. Like, dude, okay, a tight end's going for the Heisman, and Kyle Trask is like the best thing since like Tim Tebow. Like, dude, pump the brakes. And okay, you lost. So can we all calm down a little bit about? I mean, ESPN, I was hearing those names way too much. And again, I'm not really a Gator hater, but I was happy Jimbo won, because if Florida had won, we would have more quarterback, tight end, Heisman talk. And it's like, dude, what is okay? Kyle Trask came on last year and they beat up some teams who were not that good, and you lit up an Ole Miss defense, which sucks. And like, what's the point? And you blew a game, and then your coach is like, I want 88,000 in my stadium. I'm going to ask the state to allow us to do it. Like that, I guess you're pissed off you lost, but do we really need 88,000 people in a stadium, like hug next to each other? No, that's not a smart thing to say either. So, credit to Jimbo. I know he gets credit for getting a top four win. I don't believe Florida's a top four team, but we could do an episode on the rankings right now, because there's some teams in the Big Ten ranked who haven't played yet. So the rankings are a cluster F this year. But overall, a good win. That's a win. If you're an Aggies fan that you've not had during his time, that was easily the best win during his tenure there. So credit to them. That's a step in the right direction. As my buddies in my group chat were saying, is Kellen Munn like a 7-year, like taking can't pass math to graduate? I feel like that dude's been there. It feels like a really long ass time, Chris, since Kellen Munn's been the quarterback for A&M. I don't know how long it's been, but it feels like 7 years. But hey, props to them. Bama, you had Bama tied 14-14 last week, and then they rolled you, and you came back, and you got a nice victory over the fourth-ranked team in the country at that moment. So that's something that they can build off of. Obviously, they have some defensive secondary problems too, which they were exposed, but they made the plays, they kicked the field goal, they got a nice victory. So, yeah, that was an encouraging win. And for Florida, a little bit of humbleness, I would say, in my opinion.
Well, he did get some playing time in 2017, but he's been the starter for the last 3 years. So this is his fourth year. He's a senior.
It feels like it's been there for seven.
It was because it was the rotationary door, you know, that just kept, you know, studs would go in, Murray would leave. He'd bring in three studs or something, and none of them really wanted to compete. And stay, you know, and they wouldn't stay on the team. So maybe that's part of it. You're right, though. I didn't realize this was his fourth year playing. You don't necessarily see that. That is kind of crazy. Now, there are some other games like Virginia, North Carolina, and some other games we'll talk about. We'll get to your Missouri club, too. But obviously, the old State Fair, the Texas State Fair, they got themselves a show, a 4-overtime Oklahoma victory that it seemed like, for a while, even though it was 10-0, it didn't really seem like Oklahoma was necessarily in control of the game. But it kind of did start to feel like that when it was 31-17. And obviously Texas and company, with Ellinger and everything, they can mount some comebacks. They're never that when they just barely got by, TCU? No, TCU beat them. Who was it? Iowa State? Who was it? I forgot all of a sudden. There you go. They barely freaking won that game. But this one was a blast. I mean, it turned out, it seemed like it was going to actually be underneath the 72 or 75 over-under, but it ended up 53-45. They're both 2-2 now as a team, which is kind of funny when you look at both these programs. But Oklahoma really, really needed this W, and they got it. I mean, they ended up getting it done. They ran the ball with Pledger really, really well, and overall just outlasted them in a fun shootout that we kind of expected.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're – it's interesting for Oklahoma, you know, because some people have been saying, you know, is Spencer Rattler still learning how to grow up yet, or is Lincoln Riley kind of a lucky coach? Because kind of going into the week, it's like, okay, so you've had Baker, Kyler, and Jalen Hurts, and now you have a kid who's learning. So some people were saying, well, maybe Lincoln Riley's not the top shit that people think he is. Or you could just say, hey, like, this Rattler kid isn't that good yet. Like, maybe he's still learning. And he actually got benched in the game. Like, they benched him because he's had some moments of inconsistency. Yeah. I heard a crazy stat that leading up into this game, passes Link passes that Rattler throws in the first 2.5 seconds after the snap, he is at a 50 points higher on a QB rating clip than passes after that time. So that's kind of, that was really fascinating. You know, so clearly when we got some plays called that are quickly like, okay, the kid's, he's got an arm. Like, there's no denying that he can throw a ball. But yeah, so clearly I think he's learning to get used to maybe backup options or reading how to, you know, read different levels. So, but overall, the kid won the game. Like, okay, that's the sixth time now, I believe, in the past 7 OUs beat Texas. He made some great clutch throws in overtime. The game should not have gone as long as it did, because Oklahoma did blow a 14-point lead with like 3:40 to go. And then they're, as announcers love to say, the best kicker in college football comes up and shanks one. But okay, so props to Oklahoma. Your defense is still awful. You're still miles down the road from even being in the mention of a top four team this year. Like, that's your defense is so bad, you're going to lose more games. But they beat their big rival. And to flip the script, for Tom Herman, I've never been a fan. This guy got a ton of love. You know, he was going to change things around after they got rid of Charlie. But he's now, I believe, 1-5 against OU. And he's now, during his time at Texas, has lost, and this doesn't relate to this game, but he's lost to more unranked opponents, well-ranked, than any coach in the country. So what has he done? Like, the guy, he never seems to get ripped. Like, he always used to have the mantra of, oh, as an underdog, he's unbeatable. Well, for the past couple of seasons, if you're a Texas fan, and I just don't hear it that much, that's why I kind of bring it up, Chris. Like, it's like this dude's been getting a free pass now for quite a few years, and you still haven't seen really much out the program. Like, last year they had some big games to splash some big wins on the schedule, and it didn't happen. This year now, you've already lost a handful of games. You should have lost Texas Tech. Like, what is the – either Tom Herman's getting a free pass, or I'm not checking the Austin media boards, but, dude, how many more years, if you're a Texas Longhorn fan, can you handle this for what a lot of people say, you know, it should be one of the better programs in the country, at least in their standards? Like, what's going on? Is it he doesn't have the right guys? Maybe his team sucks. Maybe he sucks. Is it some bad luck? But I can't believe that the media doesn't seem to rip this guy like they seem to rip other coaches at top end programs when they struggle.
Especially with the amount of criticism that his predecessor got, Charlie Strong. I mean, this guy is
tons
destroyed. And you know, they were coming up short in games that they needed to get over the hump with. Very similar to what's going on right now. So they had a better defense. Well, they have a better offense now. So, I mean, we can sit there and play back and forth, but we pretty much know the reason. But you're right. I mean, nationally, you know, I understand he was an offense coordinator for a national championship team, but there was a pretty good coach there who you don't like, but you do say he's a damn good coach, Urban yes. Meyer. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, let's look at that. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, they still can be 10-2, but, well, actually they can't. What am I saying? There's not 12 games this year. Well, I suppose in the end you could be. You could still be because of a bowl game or whatever, but yeah, man, it's you know, this isn't like a bad loss by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, he definitely doesn't seem to get that same criticism, nowhere near that criticism. Still trying to figure out exactly what North Carolina is, but they took a step in the right direction. Virginia Tech has 3 starters out and some role players, I think 15 total, but a couple of role players out. Still, they had 23, I think, a week or two ago. But that was a nice win, 56-45 from North Carolina. We'll kind of keep an eye on them to see if they are just not all offense, which it kind of seems like that program is. But, you know, it's still pretty good. BYU actually got kind of a scare. They won 27-20. Like I said, we'll get to your Missouri in just a second. Iowa State took care of business. As the 24th ranked team over Texas Tech, 31-15. My upset of the week, NC State over Virginia, That was like a 4-point spread. They won 38-21. South Carolina just trampled Vandy, who actually looked like kind of a gritty enough team to stay in the game, 41-7. That was pretty freaking ugly. Like I mentioned earlier, the two games, Pitt and Boston College and Kansas State and TCU, we figured they'd be the hardcore barn burner type. That's exactly what they turned out to be. A couple other games we'll get to. There was only two games postponed, and there is a game postponed next week. But, hey, it's better than 5 and 6 games, which is what the first month was. But let's get to it. Missouri, LSU. Now, LSU lost, what was it, 13 juniors or some shit like that, and then they lost their best corner, their best wide receiver, and I think an offensive lineman, if I'm not mistaken, from COVID. They're okay. They just, you know, opted out. So that is a lot of talent gone, but golly, like, I mean, this is getting crazy. I'll let you say it, dude. I mean, the quarterback for Mizzou just went the F off, threw for 406. They ran for a 180. They did whatever the hell they wanted, put up 586. I don't know. It's nice that LSU won the championship last year because, man, they'd be feeling it if they had, you know, come up short against Clemson and then this is the product they get the next year. I guess it doesn't really matter because, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, I've said a couple of times so far in the podcast that Ole Miss's defense is bad. LSU's is worse. I mean,
and that's weird to say because that, yes, it's never horrible.
No, it's worse. I would say it's worse than Ole Miss. And Ole Miss is, I mean, they have trouble. Like, clearly, bringing in Bo Pelini was a very bad decision. Like, that is not working at all. And, I mean, hell, there's only so much. I know Coach O's taking flack, and rightfully so. But, I mean, you know, hell, what are they supposed to do? This is a Missouri offense, Chris, who, I'll admit, they did look good. I really like that new coach, Eli Drinkwitz. I'm pretty sure that's how you say it. Like, he's been an offensive guy. Like, so he's going to come up with a really good scheme. And I thought that the play calling was really creative. It was a true, like, kind of typical Mizzou spread offense. And this, in the freshman quarterback played his ass off. It was an awesome game to watch. And as a Mizzou fan, I almost teared up. It's the first big one we've had in a long ass time. So credit to Mizzou. But for LSU first, I mean, your defense has problems. Offensively, they got some skill, like regular. Okay. They have a young quarterback who's grown up too. It seems like there's a lot of young quarterbacks in the SEC this year. So you got some receivers who are playmakers, but it's not going to matter. Just to put things into perspective, LSU got lit up by Mississippi State for 650 yards. Mizzou, again, had over 600 yards against them. You lost to a freshman quarterback who had three of his top five receivers out for the game, I believe due to illness or injury. And the Mississippi State team that hung up 670 on you scored 2 points against Kentucky. Like, I know you can't always do the triangle theory, but there, to some extent in my mind, okay, you gave up, I don't know what Mississippi State scored on LSU, but I think it was around 42-48. So a team hung up 670 on you, and Costello, who's looked like crap of late, torched you, and that team scored 2 points. So if you're an LSU fan, Chris, and that's the thing about college football, you can't, there's no time to make trades. You can't swap anyone. You can't sign like a free agent like you could in the NFL. I think this team is in some serious hurt. And I don't know. I'm at a loss of words because this is the college known as DBU. And if you look in the NFL, they have their fair share of prospects. They've put together a hell of a defense for a long time, but this year, man, it is awful. Again, I'm very happy for Mizzou. I'm happy they won. That's the biggest win we've had in a long time. I think that's encouraging because Mizzou's been really pretty bad for the past 4 to 5 years, especially. So that was an awesome win, especially at home. There were some fans there, so that was super encouraging. Like I said, I got a little emotional. I was really happy just to see a W. But yeah, if you're an LSU defense, you've now been lit up really bad. And okay, you shut down Vandy. That doesn't mean shit. Vandy's awful. So. And hell, and now they got to play Florida, who, again, I'm not the biggest Kyle Trask fan, but they have been putting up points. So if you're an LSU, if you're LSU this year or for this week, Chris, you got to imagine you got to score probably, you're going to have to score probably 45 on the Gators to win. Because can you realistically, you're going to go to Florida. They're going to be pissed off off their loss. I don't think as an LSU fan, you can expect your team to keep Florida under 40, which is really weird to say, but it is the dam is broke. It is a flood. And I don't know how you fix it this time of the year. What can you do?
Not much, man. Not much. I mean, they, to have four stops, four plays from the, or wait, yeah, it says stopped LSU on four plays from the 1 yard line in the final minute. And it's their worst start, LSU 1-2 or worse since 1994. I think they're just fucked. Like, I just don't, you know what I mean? I don't think there's any way around it. It is what it is. It's like a, it's like 2020 coronavirus year for them. But it's like, dude, we don't know. And remember when the Coach O said that pretty much everyone on the team's gotten it. It's like, yeah, dude, we get it. Like, the team has COVID and you're not telling us. Maybe that's what's wrong. It's not the scheme. It's actually COVID, because that would be a better reason and excuse for this outcome. But yeah, it's hard to see that much of a fall. But like I said, the amount of – you'd never get that amount of juniors leaving. And then their top – you know, probably top three out of five aren't playing that came back as juniors. So that's part of it, but still. Go ahead.
And to add in a gambling point, and again, over-unders aren't posted yet for college football, but I would definitely look at the over in this game, or you can also always bet a team total. I mean, I know last week, I believe that Bama's team total was 44. 4-47, and the over under for Bama Ole Miss was 73. If you're Vegas, I mean, I think the team total, you got to make it in the 40s for Florida. And I know this sounds so crazy, but if you like to gamble like we do, I would definitely check out Florida. I know they're a 13.5 point favorite, which is, sounds kind of crazy versus LSU, but I would look at a total or a team total or something. Because, again, they're going to be ready to go. They got some pieces. They're at home. And that LSU defense, again, it's not changing overnight. I know you got that quarterback Stingley, who's an NFL-talented possible player. But he's one of 11 guys, and you can't – there's only so much you can do. So look at the information on Florida for points, because I think that would be a pretty good ticket to try to cash.
Yeah, I'd say so. Speaking of that North Carolina Virginia Tech game, it was the most points in AP ranked ACC matchup at 101, and 399 yards rushing. Right, they had, I mean, Carter had 214 yards rushing. But I was gonna say that, what was that other stat? Oh yeah, that Tennessee Georgia team rushing a buck 93 to they held Tennessee to negative one. And obviously, I think it was 27-0 after that point. You know, just kind of heading into week seven, like I said, there it seems kind of light. Well, not kind of. It is light. It is light. But that doesn't mean, you know, us hardcores won't, you know, enjoy this game or this whole thing. Obviously, you have number two Alabama, number three Georgia that we'll get into. Break it down in just a second, but Virginia Tech against Boston College could be interesting. As just an ugly game, Virginia Wake Forest could be a good ending. A&M Mississippi State, I don't know what, 6.5 points favorite. Man, maybe they should be more than that. I don't know. Ole Miss Arkansas, that's probably a good game. Mississippi is a 3-point favorite. UCF and Memphis, that's probably a good game. So there are some interesting games, along with SMU and Tulane. SMU undefeated. They beat Memphis 6.5. But here's something that you might want to jump on right now. Reggie Robertson is out for the season. He was having a great, great year. Had that big, big game a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And also TJ McDaniel, their running back, both out for the year. And Robinson has been 2 years now in a row that that's happened to him. So that's something to keep an eye on. BYU and Houston. BYU didn't look as good last week. They are now a 3.5-point favorite over unbeaten Houston. But, you know, I say unbeaten Houston, but it's a little strange because unbeaten's a little funky. They've only played one game. Now, we have – oh, shit, now there's two postponements. Oklahoma State and Baylor, we knew that wasn't happening, but Vandy and Mizzou is postponed. What the hap? What happened? Was it Vandy or is it Mizzou or is it both? Now it literally just last night I checked and it just had one postponement. Now we're up to two. Hopefully there's not a third. But Bama, Georgia, this is a huge, huge game. This might be the rematch coming up, or the first one with a rematch coming up in the conference finals. We'll see how that plays out. But, it's nice. This is primetime CBS. Usually it's just the LSU games that do this with Bama. What are your thoughts here, man? Right now, and we haven't used it that much, but according to ESPN's Football Power Index, my co-host Marshall's favorite thing, they have Bama 60.7% chance to win in the matchup predictor over 39.3. Like we said, Bennett is still kind of getting his feet underneath them, although he has played well of late. They can run. They can play defense. It feels like, let's say, maybe once, what was it, 2008 or 2009, I think Bama won their first championship. And remember when they were just running defense and we have skill positions, but we're not going to just wing the ball around too much? I think it's like a flashback to but Georgia doing that role right now, playing great defense, can run the shit out of the ball, and they got a quarterback that's a game manager who can make some plays here and there, whereas Jones actually got to play a little last year, but it just seems like he's hit the ground running. How do you see this playing out? Right now, the over-under is 56.5. That's high for this game. But the way this year's going, I don't feel like it's high. But we're going to find out how good that Bulldogs defense is. But right now they have Bama, as a 5-point favorite. It's in Alabama. I'm assuming there's going to be some crowds there in Bryant-Denny. How do you think this one works out? Because Georgia has looked damn good this year. Messing up Auburn and taking the soul out of Tennessee after a tight game.
Well, normally this is a game where, as you've said, normally the defenses are equal. But and I'm trying not to bring up Lane again, but I think that Ole Miss showed that okay, like Bama's defense is not what it normally is for Saban. I think that's fair. But, you know, Georgia's offense is also not Ole Miss. I think we're kind of in the middle. But I think normally in this game, Chris, you do have a defense for Bama and Georgia that are equal. And this year, I don't think that's the case. So from a defensive standpoint, you give a check mark to Georgia. But from a quarterback standpoint, you give a check mark to Bama. Quarterback for coach is always going to give a check mark to Saban. Special teams is always a coin flip in college football. So I really think where this game will be decided is going to be when Georgia has the ball. Okay. So obviously Saban will have the boys ready to go. Okay. Again, you're facing a much different offense. Georgia's going to run the ball down your throat, probably have some simplified passes. Cause again, their quarterback is still super young. So I think Alabama's going to score some. I got that. Those receivers are too good. I mean, I don't think they're going to drop 50 on, but I think Bama's going to score around probably 20 to 28 points. I think
Auburn did put up six too. So they should, you know what I mean?
So I do think that, okay, but I think Bama scores around 28 ish. So the question is, you know, how's Georgia's offense going to do? A young kid, first time playing against Saban, you expect to have a pretty good game plan. And I don't, I just, I, it'd be really hard for me to just envision a game where George just runs the ball down Saban's throat and they can't stop him because that just certainly doesn't happen. So
right.
I would lean towards Bama because I think you have the better offense and hopefully your defense does enough. But maybe this is the coming out party for the kid at Georgia. Like, okay, dude, you've won some big games. You've been tested. Your feet are wet. You're in the pool. And now now we're playing Bama. Hell, if you win this game, well, all of a sudden we're talking big hype this year. So, yeah, I think the most important factor is how will he do it under center in a tough game in Tuscaloosa. I would lean towards Bama. I know the line opened at -4 and it's now 6. So that's showing you that people, whether it is the, you know, fancy bettors or the regular public, they're all pounding Alabama. So I think that appears to be the opinion. I would just hope if you're Bama that your defense has a better game, and I think they'll find a way to win. But if the Bama defense plays like last weekend, this kid gets some confidence, we could be having a close game in the second half. And the reason why this game is so important is because for the most part, people believe for now that these are the two best teams in the SEC, and you're probably going to have a rematch again in the SEC championship. So, I mean, you really need this one. Like, Georgia probably will run through the rest of their schedule, probably, in from a Vegas perspective. So whoever takes this first punch, it really kind of hurts you going for the rest of the year, and you have a chance for revenge. But this is one of the most important games of the early college football season so far this year, Chris. So, yeah, I'll lean Bama, but that 6 is a little – I wouldn't bet the 6. I would just bet Bama to win.
I think that's fair, and like you said, Georgia has Kentucky, Florida, a reinvigorated Missouri, Mississippi State, South Carolina, and Vandy to close. I'm actually going to go the opposite way. It's funny when we break down the crafty, crappy pick of the week, which we'll get to in just a short little bit as we close this podcast out. Points per game, you know, 36 is pretty good against Georgia, right? Or for Georgia, 51 points. The problem is Bama, and it is weird to look at this, giving up 30 freaking points a game, whereas Georgia only giving up 12. And then the rushing yards, just yards allowed. Georgia's under 200 for the passing, 322 for Bama. They're giving up 150 rushing defense. It's not like they've just – they're facing like Herschel Walker, but rushing allowed for Georgia 38. And now the flip side is that, you know, they didn't have to play Herschel Walker either. That'd be weird though, because Herschel Walker went to Georgia. But anyway, I digress. That was kind of weird. I don't know where I went, but just warming up for the crafty pick of the week. I'm gonna say this is the kid's coming out party where he just makes a couple of plays here and there. They steal enough signs, like Saban said, because you didn't address that. Saban said that Kiffin was stealing signs. That's why he was saying his defense was giving up. It's like they knew everything we were doing.
Uh-huh.
Which that didn't really make sense. I was like, you're not talking offensive, right? Because you put up a lot of points. Must have been talking defense. But then that lines up. You gave a lot, but then they're stealing your defensive signs? Isn't that kind of a weird thing? Anyway, Georgia gets it done, and then I'm calling it right now, then Alabama beats them in the conference final when it really counts. And I guess that's where I'm kind of banking on it. 56, let's say. I'll say 27-24, 30-27, something like that. Georgia gets the job done. I talked about a couple other games as far as point spread. The Raging Cajuns, 7.5-point favorite, but they're facing Coastal Carolina Wednesday. 3-0 against 3-0. That could be a sneaky good game. If you like sneaky good games, Georgia State and Arkansas State. Arkansas State, 3.5-point spread on Thursday. We actually got some interesting Miami 10.5-point favorite against Pitt. If they're running the ball, it could be less than that. Cincinnati Tulsa is probably a good game. So on the hardcore level, there's actually some interesting games. Who would have thought Liberty would be a 3.5 point favorite coming into this year against a 1-3 Syracuse squad. Not that Syracuse, we're not talking basketball, but wow, that's pretty crazy. Anything else you want to talk about for the upcoming week? Like I said, I listed off a fair amount of games that it might be just one of those on the low. Hey, that was a pretty damn good weekend. And by the way, we got a 2-3 weekend, you know?
Yeah, I think from a gambling standpoint, I would be curious to research the Tennessee Kentucky game. I know Kentucky's 1-2, but they had a really nice game last week against Mississippi State, and I think against Tennessee, those teams normally play each other really tight. Like I just expect that to be a close game. Tennessee's getting 6 points. You just had a tough loss against Georgia, who's obviously maybe their biggest rival. Like I could see Kentucky like getting six there. That's a pretty nice spot in a kind of a potential letdown spot. So I would look into Kentucky again to repeat for gambling, whatever Florida's over under is or team total, I would check out that. And I saw one other game. Yeah. The Ole Miss Arkansas, like that'd be probably a game to check out the over, I would think, because both teams have been scoring the ball pretty well. The Ole Miss is -3. That's an interesting line. Both teams have played really well, so that could go either way. And lastly, for SEC games, A&M is a 6.5 point favorite. I think you really got to look at that game, Chris. Like again, Mississippi State looked incredible against LSU. And then you had a rough game. And then last week you scored 2 points. It's the first time in Mike Leach's coaching career his team's ever not scored a touchdown. So I think the KJ Costello experiment is really going downhill, which really honestly does surprise me. He was a kid at Stanford, and I know they run a pro-style offense, but he was normally pretty, like, respectable, not great, not bad, average good quarterback. But, I mean, I'll read you his stat line for last game. He was 36 of 55. So yeah, and he did get benched in the game too. He got benched during third quarter, but he only threw for 232 yards. So if you're completing
much at all for 60, what'd you say, 63 attempts?
55, 200.
Yeah, that's not much at all.
And I was looking, and when I was watching the game, because I originally bet them, like every pass was just 4 to 5 yards. So maybe the playbook is out, Chris. And I know Kentucky does have normally a good defense, but okay, hey, we're gonna let you you can dink and dunk under us, and we'll just come up and hit you. Like we're gonna fall into a zone, and you're not gonna go over the top, and we're just gonna have you dink and dunk. And he had 4 picks that game. He had an awful pick six, which was a delayed screen pass, and the guy took it to the house. He did have a pass before halftime bounce off his wide receiver's hands, which would have been a touchdown, which is not on him, but. Yeah, that experiment's
been. And that LSU game's not really looking all that great anymore, is it?
No.
It's like, sweet, man, that was awesome, but everybody's doing that. Vandy could do that to him right now.
Yeah, and you lost to Arkansas 21-14. So I would definitely look at A&M. Okay, A&M just had the biggest win they've had in program history, since Jimbo's been there. And I know it's normally you could be a letdown spot, but you'd also just say, hey, the kids are confident, and you're going against a team who's been struggling. So I would take the A&M, get them under a touchdown, but I would look at A&M getting the 6.5 points. But, yeah, that's it. College football has really spoiled us so far this year, and I think we'll get another very great, enjoyable weekend for this week 7 as well.
So he could technically transfer back to the unbeaten Stanford, though. Stanford haven't lost the game yet.
True.
He could transfer back. You know what I mean?
Go back to that pro style. Yep.
I mean, why not? If he's getting benched, you don't need that, dude. You weren't getting benched in Stanford. So why don't we close down the show with one of our favorite segments, the crafty, crappy pick of the week. Let's update last week and then get to the nitty gritty and shut this thing down.
All right. Well, last week we had a classic ACC every year annual basketball matchup of an evil coach and a guy that hits people with cars.
You can't tell he's a North Carolina fan, guys, right? Can't tell that at all.
So Duke won 38-24. Syracuse is just bad this year. I mean, Duke was 0-4, but Duke wasn't as bad. Chris, to remind people, who was your pick last week of the Duke-Syracuse matchup?
That was Duke, because they were 0-4, and I was picking to win their first game, and they did.
And I believe Duke finished around -1 for the game, so we keep cashing tickets. I'm telling you, we hit 70% for this crazy theory we got, and we're 3-0 on the year. So we'll look to move to another successful win. And so for this week, we have a game where one team is 2-2, but really, I just they've not sold me against a team who's they won their game last week too, but my God, their defense is garbage. So for this matchup today, we're going to an 11 a.m. Central Time kickoff. The game is on ESPN Plus, so you can stream it on your phone, use your laptop, or whatever. We're going to Dowdy Ficklin Stadium in Greenville, North Carolina, where the Navy midshipmen, who lost their quarterback from last year, and God, their quarterback last year, that Malcolm Perry, that dude is an effing stud. He would never have made this segment, but Navy's new quarterback is not an effing stud like Malcolm Perry. He's just an okay quarterback against East Carolina.
I couldn't find it. I saw the Army game, but okay.
Whose defense is East Carolina's defense is complete trash. So that's why I picked it again. Navy blew a 21 point, or no, sorry. Navy got smoked by BYU. They did have a nice comeback, but again, this is a garbage matchup to me, Chris. I'll let you take it away, but again, 11 a.m. Central Time kickoff, ESPN Plus. This could be your first bet of the day. Get some money. It's always fun to play with the house's money. What do you see happening in this one, brother?
Man, this is a good one, dude. This is really good because Navy just got their ass handed to them by BYU 55-3. Jesus Christ.
Remember, their coach didn't do tackling before the year started because he was afraid of COVID. Which, that's fair, right. But, ugh.
I forgot about that part. Man, this is good. This is good. You're not kidding about East Carolina. Well, by the way, a couple years back, they had a really pretty good program, and like you said, Navy was pretty damn good last year. But, you know, years go by, and Navy is averaging 17 points, and they're giving up 37 points. Not to be outdone, though, East Carolina, 41 points they're giving up, dude. They're scoring more. They're almost double what Navy was at 34, basically. But, man. That is a lot of points to give up. They're also giving up 317 in the air. Oh, my gosh. Navy has given up 275 on the ground, dude. This is truly a crafty pick of the week. Dowdy Ficklin, is that what it is? I don't see any tickets available, so they've shut that thing all the way down, huh? Man, this one is so – I'm 3-0, looking at 4-0 on the season, man. Gosh, this is – the Temple game gives me hope for Navy. Gosh, I'm – you know what? Have I got – I don't know if I've gone with the home team. I have been going – ah, this is a good game, dude. 61 over under, 2.5. This is a pick'em game. Jeez, you know, and they can't run the ball worth a shit, East Carolina, either. Otherwise, I'd pick that. Man, I don't know, dude. This one has got me on the fence. I'm going to go with – oh, they are open. What am I saying? Tickets as low as $56? Wow, that's not that low. I guess I'm just trying to buy time. I'm going to go – with the East Carolina Pirates to try to summon up some of that offense and just overall team they had a couple of years ago with that good quarterback. So I'm going East Carolina to get the W, sir.
Oh, okay. I do see. Okay. The Florida over under 70.5. Okay. Just to update that. All right. You're taking ECW. Okay. Fair enough. Like I said, they pass the ball that they can. So I might have to join you on that one too. And as we've been doing to wrap up, I've kind of enjoyed doing this segment. We're going to compare alumni of both schools. Now, this might surprise you a little bit, Chris, with the list of names from one of the schools. So, and I always like to look on who Google puts first. So of Navy alumni, maybe this is from how I search sports, but Malcolm Perry is the first name to pop up on the list from left to right, which is really surprising considering the names following Malcolm Perry. A president, Jimmy Carter, NBA champion, David Robinson, Senator John McCain.
Okay.
Dallas Cowboy great Roger Staubach.
Hey,
so that's a hell of a Jesus. I mean, we're talking.
I was thinking he went to like Michigan or something. I did not know he went to Army. And then
you have just a long, long list of proud military members who I'm not, you know, I don't recognize off the top of my head.
Sure.
But you know, it's a hell of a list. Also, Montel Williams, a talk show host.
Okay.
And that about does that. So that's a really respectable winch alumni, yeah. Wouldn't you say, Chris?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Now,
not the sports world, but David Robinson.
Yeah, yeah. So now for East Carolina, though, okay. Sandra Bullock is number one. That's a strong push.
Good start.
You got Vince McMahon.
Okay.
All right. Interesting. And you got Chris Johnson, who at one point said he was the fastest running back in the NFL. Okay, yeah. That ain't bad. And then you got Vontae Leach, who used to be an NFL player. After that, it really drops downhill. But if we had to pick between a stronger alumni, does Sandra Bullock and Vince McMahon carry enough weight for the top two to rival a president and some great NBA player? Who would you lean towards in the alumni Admiral, battle?
The Admiral David Robinson takes it. So that's what wraps it up for me.
I could see the Admiral like dunking on Vince McMahon in like a Monday Night Raw segment, just like elbowing him in the face or something. Okay, fair enough. All right, so that does it. Again, East Carolina Pirates, the way to go. And as Chris said, this was a program who was on the up and coming rise like 4 or 5 years ago, and now they've sunk again. Now they're trying to rise up again. So hopefully their pirate ship does not sink this weekend. So on that note, again, we're getting close to voting. I know in my state of Texas, you're actually allowed to start voting tomorrow. So make sure you've registered to vote. Go out and vote. I think that's really important this year, especially. Wear a mask. Enjoy some college football this weekend. The boys are out. Peace.